What's up, everybody? It's been a few weeks. I apologize, but I am back to have a chat by myself. And I want to talk to you guys today for anyone who's looking at competing in boxing, kickboxing, any sort of combat sports. And the topic I want to talk about is when are you ready to fight? It can be a hard question to answer. As a coach, you get a lot of people asking, like, you know, when do you think I'm ready? How do I tell? What are the signs? All these different things. And it's different for everybody. Like, some people will learn very fast, and obviously they're ready to get in there quicker than others. But there's a few things that I would use as a guide for anybody, no matter how talented you are, what natural skills you have. The biggest thing I would say is that if you are still having to think about your reactions in sparring, particularly in kickboxing and Muay Thai, there's so many things going on. If you have to still think about how to leg check or when to do a leg check when someone throws one, it's a good sign that you're not ready. It should be very instinctive. Your bottom half should protect your bottom half like it does it itself. You don't have to think about it. Because a really good sign that someone's thinking about their defense is that when they lift their leg to defend, their eyes tend to look down, or they look down to that body part, and it's a really easy tell. And obviously then you're not protecting your upper half. So these are things that you're looking for. If the reflexes in defense and boxing, same with kickboxing, aren't natural, it's a very good sign that you're not ready to compete, especially not ready to compete at a high level. You know, you might be okay to have a couple of amateur bouts with someone who's very, very fairly matched to you. But that's the thing you got to watch out for. A lot of that doesn't happen sometimes, and people go in there and have a bad experience and don't want to do it again because they were against the wrong person or they were rushed. Too many people I start training are too keen to get in there and don't really understand the consequences of what can happen in fighting. Tend to watch, you know, fights on TV, be it the UFC or high-level boxing, and maybe not see a lot of injuries and blood and see people at the end after a fight and thinking, well, it didn't look that bad, they don't look that hurt. Well, you're not seeing behind the scenes afterwards these people with, you know, either broken noses or jaws or broken hands or teeth dislodged and things like that. So you don't get to see that. So you may not think there's not much damage there because you don't see blood or cuts. That's not always the case. And the head trauma, obviously. So you have to be ready to get into a cage or a ring or whatever and not rush it. Be very patient. In hindsight, with myself, when I started, my first fight was as a professional. Now, that only means I got paid to fight. It doesn't mean I was world class. But the problem is I really wasn't ready to be at that level. That'd be why I had probably the losses I had. I should have been in the amateur ranks, done it with pads on and different rules to get used to it and know that I know how to defend myself and have time to get better at my jiu-jitsu. Because you need to remember, your amateur record doesn't cross over to your professional record. So if you're someone, you know, looking to have a good record because you want to go somewhere in your career, it is important that you tend to reflect a good record, or at least that you fought good opponents. Because having a good record doesn't always mean that you've fought good people. You can have what we call a padded record, where you've fought nobodies, but you've got all these wins. Now, that'll come back to bite you later on when you get matched up against someone very good. So there's no point doing that. You need to be honest with who you're matched up with and who you're fighting if you want to get anywhere in your career. But really what we're talking about is when you're ready. Like I said, reflex-wise, should be very, very natural. There's also something you look at, like, not being gun shy or not flinch, you know, like very new people to sparring get a punch thrown towards them, and you know, there's a lot of overreaction with ducking and closing the eyes and so forth. You need to make sure that's going away to a degree, that when a punch comes at you, it may hit you, but you're not flinching and running away. You need to be okay with being hit. That sounds obvious, but a lot of people don't establish that. Look, on these lines of when are you ready, you could also ask, can I fight? What's a good test? Like, I joke and say to people, a true test would be that you punch someone in the face and you see how they respond. It may sound funny, but it's pretty much the truth. Someone who can probably fight would take a punch in the face and might go, you know, that hurt, or what's that for, but not freak out. Someone who's never probably going to get used to it is if you hit them and they, you know, cower up and run away and make a big deal of it. It can't be a big deal, because are you going to get hit in a fight? Yes, you're going to get hit. Nobody, even undefeated fighters, have been hit. So you can't think that you're going to be good enough to never be punched in the head or kicked in the face or anything like that. That being said, once you establish this toughness and you know you can take punches and kicks and you don't flinch and it doesn't bother you, I, as a coach now, would say stay away from that and do it minimally. You don't need to do it often. And that would be the general consensus for a lot of camps now, a lot of trainers. Training's changed a lot. There's a lot more thinking, a lot more science behind it. Old school days, even myself back in the day, there'd be no timer. We'd just get in there and half the time just fight until someone quit. Now, that was silly. It seemed like fun at the time, but you take a lot of damage, a lot of head trauma. Look, most people agree. A lot of the head trauma, majority you take is in training, not even in a real fight. So you need to minimalize this in training. If you know you're tough and you've established that, I say work on skills and drills primarily, 90% of that. 10% sparring, once a week maybe. Some people do it more, but be limited to it and be limited to your head contact. You don't need to punch someone in the head over and over once you know you're tough. You can still do a light punch to the head, and as long as those undefended strikes are acknowledged and you realize there's a weakness there and your skills need fixing, you don't need to punch hard. You don't learn more when you're punched hard compared to when you're punched quarter of the power. You still hit. A lot of people, that is the problem. They don't recognize that, and you'll spar with particular beginners and you'll throw a technique to the head maybe, and you'll pull the kick and they'll walk through it and punch you and think they got the better of you, but they're not realizing that you pulled that kick up and could have put the kick through. So you need to understand, you need to realize those rules and acknowledge shots that are undefended and trained. Then you don't need to take these big shots. That's a very important factor in sparring, that you do that. So like I said, establishing whether you're ready would be coming back to whether things become natural. You slip, you roll, you check, you catch, you counter, you whatever you're sport is, that it becomes natural and you're not having to think too much. I use an analogy I've said to many of people, like driving a manual car. If you think back to when you started driving a manual car, the thought of changing gears and, you know, pushing the clutch and putting the blinker on and checking your mirror was very overwhelming, and you would stall the car and it was very hard. Months later, it's very natural. You don't even really notice listening for the engine. You just change gears naturally. You can check your window mirrors. It all becomes easy. To me, that is very much like, particularly Muay Thai, is that your bottom half, your legs defend very well naturally. You don't even think about it when you do a leg check. Hence, then you're ready to throw a counter. But if you happen to think about defending the leg, you're not ready to counter. Same with boxing. If you think about slipping, the counter punch is probably not going to be that. Slip should be natural, so the counter's already on the way back. And then also establish that toughness. Once that toughness is established off the bat, get that done pretty early on, you stay away from that and you minimalize the trauma. They would be my things. Obviously, there's fitness and everything that comes into it, but this podcast, what I'm talking about, is really about when are you ready. Fitness should be a common sense factor. A little bit touching on that, people do underrate fitness. I believe a fit fighter, there's a saying that a fit mug will be an unfit champion, which means a lot of people that are very good become complacent and rely on their skills, sometimes can waver from their conditioning, and you give someone who's not as good an opportunity, they train the house down, they may not be as skilled, and they may be getting beaten for a couple of rounds, but later on, with their fitness coming back, in the second, third, fourth, fifth round, whatever the round, they're fitter than the other guy who's actually technically better, but he's too tired to use those skills, and the guy who's not as good is still at good conditioning and he can use the skills he has. It may be half the skill of the guy who's better, but he can apply it, and the guy who's better can't because he's too tired. So never, ever, ever overlook your fitness. It has to be number one priority, I believe, even over skills. Fitness is there. You can have all the skills in the world, but if you're not fit enough to deliver those skills, there's no point having them, okay? You need to focus on your fitness equally or more than even your skills. Get your fitness up there so you know you can rely on in the last round and it will get you through the fight. So, hopefully those tips helped you out. I think you need to realize everybody's thinking about competing. Take the sport seriously, whichever it is you're choosing to try. Don't jump in too early. Coaches out there listening, don't be over eager to put your fighter in there. It can only lead to a bad experience sometimes, and your fighter will never want to do it again. Take it easy, slow them down even when they're too keen to get in. Put them in the amateur ranks, keep them in there until they're going well and they're confident, they feel good. And then slowly go to new fights with different rules. Change from there slowly. Don't be in a rush to get to the high ranks because things change very, very quickly. I learned that. Most of my losses were, I was against guys that were obviously better than me, not just because they beat me, but they were more experienced and they were better skilled, and I just wanted to fight. I didn't care. I never had a coach, so I matched myself. Had really no one saying, no, you shouldn't be fighting this guy. I just got a phone call and went, okay, I'll do it. Again, hindsight, probably not the way to go. But you live and learn. Do I regret it? No, not really. I had a good time. And my losses are all to very, very good fighters, so there's no shame in that. And yeah, it was an experience, and you live and learn. But now as a coach, I've learned to train differently, and I feel that passing down some knowledge to people and hopefully making people slow down a bit and respect what they're about to do, take it a bit more serious, people out there can learn from this and do the same and not rush themselves into competing so you don't have a bad experience. I hope these tips helped you out, guys. I'll try and be more regular with these chats and come back to you more often with other knowledge I want to share. But if you like this and you know anyone that's thinking about getting in the sport, send this along to them. Send them the link. It's easy to share. And hopefully someone else can learn something from it. And if they're going to have a career in it, they can make a few better choices before they go rushing into competing. Anyway, cheers, guys. Thanks very much for listening.